that godly man can expect, that God will prosper all that he does, because all that he does is subject to God's discretion.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The first psalm is, in a very real sense, a distillation, a summary of the very essence of all the psalms, because it describes man as God intended for him to be, particularly in the first half of the psalm, and defines the consequences of failing to be that in the second half of the psalm. Like the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament documents, this hymn begins with the word blessed. And then it goes on to show how blessedness and godliness are inseparably bound together. There is no blessedness in our life unless there's a godliness. And it seems to me that's very clearly laid out in this first psalm. I'd like you to notice with me for a few moments three facets of a godly man's life in this psalm. What he is negatively, verse 1. What he is positively, verse 2. What he is consequently, in verse 3. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, what the man of God opposes. And David could say that the man of God opposes three things. The psalmist says he opposes godless thinking, the mold of thought of this world. He opposes lawless living, the manner of life of this world. And he opposes careless speaking, the speech of the scorner, the malignancy of speech, which characterizes this world. But then he tells us what the man of God embraces. Not only what the man of God opposes, but what the man of God embraces. And he says that in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In a word, that which the man of God embraces is the Word of God. He repudiates the world and he rejoices in the Word. He says no to the world and he says yes to the Word of God. And he immerses himself in the living and dynamic principles of Scripture. The psalmist says it in two ways. He says, one, he appreciates the Word of God. His delight, he appreciates it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The life that is going to be blessed by God can never be separated from reading and studying the Bible. Just as simple as that. I wonder how committed we are to reading and studying the Bible. The life which is going to be blessed. Blessed is the man that does this. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. The life which is going to be blessed of the Lord can never be separated from reading and studying the Bible. It's one of those basics, one of those fundamentals, one of those things that we all need to get back to that maybe we've left behind. I wonder, you know, that's so basic. We've been hearing that all our lives, haven't we? We've been raised up in Christian families. We've been hearing that all our lives. I wonder how many of us forgot it. How many of us read the Bible this week? What the man of God opposes, we're taught that in verse 1. What the man of God embraces, we're taught that in verse 2. And finally, what the man of God expresses, we're taught that in verse 3. What he is negatively, verse 1. What he is positively, verse 2. And what he is consequently, in verse 3. And the psalmist says he's six things. He expresses six things. He shows stability. He shall be like a tree planted. Charles Spurgeon said, he shall be not a wild tree, but a tree planted, chosen, considered as property, cultivated and secured from the last great uprooting. For every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15, verse 13. But the man of God who delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, he shall not be a part of that uprooting. He's planted by the Father. And that means he has a stability. In a day of inconstancy and unsteadiness, in a day of compromise and cowardice, in a day when people would rather run away to some place where it's easier, it's always a refreshing thing to focus on a life which is characterized by stability. As Paul said it, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. I wonder how many of us have moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know, the Christian landscape. Have you ever looked at it recently? The Christian landscape is strewn with a wreckage of marriages, of families, of individuals who failed to delight themselves in God's Word and swallowed the advice and the activities and the attacks of the world against the sacred things. The psalmist says there'll be stability. Secondly, he shows vitality. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not only stability, but vitality. Planted by the rivers of water. You know, water is generally, at least frequently in the Scripture, a symbol of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus could say, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. "This spake he of the Spirit." John 7. Verses 38 and 39. Water is often the symbol of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the godly man is the man who reaches down with his spiritual roots to this fountain of living water and draws upon the constant sufficiency of the divine life in the personality of the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's no drought, no dryness in such a life, but rather the freshness and the vitality, the life of the life-giving Spirit himself. There is stability. Then he shows vitality. Thirdly, he shows beauty. He shall be like a tree. A tree is a beautiful thing. Good many poems written about trees. There's a beauty attached to a tree. The palm tree, for example, in Israel, has a certain gracefulness about it, a certain graceful beauty. In fact, Solomon could say as he was describing his bride, "How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love. This thy stature..." The stature of my bride, this thy stature is like a palm tree. Song of Solomon 7, verses 6 and 7. He's speaking of the beauty of his bride. There's a beauty attached to the tree. In other words, the godly man is the man who develops a true beauty, an inward beauty, a beauty which emerges from character, not from superficial things up on the surface, but from those deep inward things in the heart of a man. The godly man combines strength with beauty. He has stability to be sure, but he also has beauty. He combines strength with beauty. He combines conviction with compassion. He combines stability with sensitivity. There is a goodness in that man, and it's not a goodness which is harsh and unattractive, but which is lovely and beautiful. God always makes a man beautiful, always makes a woman beautiful in terms of inward character when we grow in Christ. He shows beauty. He shows fertility. That's the fourth thing. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I wonder if we bring forth fruit. I wonder if we can analyze ourselves. I wonder if we bring forth fruit. You know, fruit bearing is the great privilege and it's the great duty of the Christian. What kind of fruit is the Christian to bear? He's to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It means that we so reverence and depend upon the indwelling Spirit that love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance become an integral part of our lives. We're to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23. And we're to bear the fruit of sanctity or purity or holiness, Romans 6 in verse 22. Now being made free, when you became a Christian, you were made free from sin and you became the servants of God so that you have your fruit unto holiness. Fruit unto holiness, sanctity, the great quality of purity, holiness, and separateness is a fruit to be borne by each one of us. I wonder if it's characteristic of us. And that is the fruit of souls, Romans 1 and verse 13. Paul longed for the joy of producing converts in Rome as he had in other parts of the Roman Empire. So he said that I might have some fruit among you, Romans 1 verse 13. And then there's the fruit of service, Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Christian service. I wonder how we respond when somebody asks us to serve the Lord. Maybe in a junior church, maybe in the Awana program, maybe in the bus ministry, maybe in a calling program, maybe making an effort to touch some lives this week, hand out a few flyers, invite a friend or two to come to an evangelistic meeting. I wonder how we respond when we're asked to serve God. Being fruitful in every good work. And then finally is the fruit of speech. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. The sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The fruit of speech giving thanks. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to God. Praising God. No perversity, no profanity. Praise to God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4 in verse 29. He shows fertility. Then he shows consistency. His leaf also shall not wither. He shows consistency. It means the Lord's trees are always evergreens. But the unique thing about these evergreens is that they bear fruit. They're not like our evergreens here in North America. The large trees are always evergreens. They're fruit-bearing evergreens. There is a perennial freshness or consistency about the life of a godly person. He's always a joy to be around. You know that kind of person? He's always a joy. His leaf does not wither. By the way, the visible evidence of the leaf is an indication of the hidden condition of the roots. When the roots dry out, there's dry rot in the leaves. Finally, he shows prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The godly man can expect that God will prosper all that he does, because all that he does is subject to God's discretion. His success, by the way, and his prosperity may not always meet the test of human standards, but the Christian must remember that God does not measure according to time. He measures according to eternity. Success, what is success? We need to define that. Success in the ultimate sense, true prosperity according to God's definitions, is conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do or whatever we experience that can be said to make us more like Jesus can also be said to be truly successful or truly prosperous. It may be difficult. There may be hardships attached to it. There may be setbacks. But if it results in Christ-likeness, it's truly successful and it's truly profitable. That's true prosperity. So the psalmist identifies for us three things. Do you see it with me here? There's much more to be said, but we'll close now. He identifies, one, what the man of God opposes, verse 1. He identifies, secondly, what the man of God embraces. And then finally, he identifies what the man of God expresses. He tells us what the man of God is negatively, what he does not do. And then he tells us what the man of God is positively, what he does do. And then he tells us what will be the consequence of that, what he is consequently. The question is this now. Is this the kind of life we live, the kind that's unfolded in Psalm 1, 1 to 3? More precisely, do we say no to the world? Do we say no to the world? Its mold of thought, its counsel, its manner of life, its way, its malignancy of speech, its scornful seat. What have we done with our minds, with our wills, our lifestyle, and with our tongues? More than this, have we said yes to the word? Have we said no to the world? Have we said yes to the word of God? Do we rejoice in it? He delights in the law of the Lord. And do we meditate in it perpetually, day and night? Do we read it and do we study it? Are we emaciated Christians because we have neglected our food? Is it true that stability and vitality, stability, were not a part of the wreckage strewn across the Christian landscape in our marriage, our families, our individual lives? Is it true that stability and vitality, beauty and fertility, consistency and biblical prosperity are coming to characterize our lives? Are we like Jesus Christ? Or are we like the chaff which the wind driveth away?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.